Hello and welcome to your favorite hour of the week. This is the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Pete Sweeney here with the player, Sean Barber, the blog father, Joel Thorman. And boys, we're in now, I would say, the dog days of the offseason.
Oh no, we still have the draft. The dog days are like June.
I'm telling you right now, there was a lull this week that we haven't had in a while. But first we get Sammy Watkins, and this week we're talking about signings like Matt McGloin and Nelson Spruce.
I like both of those guys though.
Well, good. We'll get into them in a second. But before we do, the latest breaking news, if you will, is the Chiefs signed a veteran safety in Robert Golden, former Steeler. That was last night on Tuesday night. Anything you make of this, Sean?
I like it. I like adding some depth in the secondary. It's a position of need for us. It allows us to not go into the draft looking and reaching at safeties, even though there's a really good one I like out of Stanford.
Justin Reed.
Yeah, buddy. I like the way you thought. We're on the same wavelength.
Oh, yeah.
You're in my mind, man. We're in the same week mind melding, like Spock.
Now, does that worry you that maybe the Chiefs won't go in that direction?
No, I'm good. I'm like, now we got depth. We can kind of wait and probably take him where he should be taken, like maybe a third round pick instead of reaching for him in a second.
I want to see if Veach has the same magic touch that Dorsey did on these veteran safeties. Hussein Abdullah, Kirk Coleman, they all went off to get, you know, big deals from
Tyvon Branch.
So Dorsey had like one of those every year. So maybe this is their like veteran safety who comes in for a year and, you know, gets another deal someplace else. Maybe. Plus he's got special teams use.
Maybe Veach and Dorsey got a little ESP going on.
Yeah.
No, nobody wants to admit it, but every GM has their position. They're one position where they don't listen to anybody in the war room. Like, I know that position, and I'm going to – and I think for safeties, it's definitely Dorsey.
As the GM of this podcast, I know linebacker analysts. Like, that's my position that I feel like I have a good touch upon.
I'll just claim myself as a quarterback guy. Everybody wants to be the quarterback guy. I'll be a head coach before no time.
Other news this week, as I mentioned, Matt McGloin is now the number three quarterback, and wide receiver Nelson Spruce, who seems like a younger guy that'll be a practice squad candidate that might have some upside.
Yeah, McGloin, I only remember him from that one year he started with the Raiders, and they were really bad. But, you know, third quarterback, actually has a little bit of experience. I don't expect him to play. If he is in the game, something has gone horribly wrong, and I'm probably giving up the website and quitting because I don't want to write about the third quarterback.
McGloin is Mr. Bad Luck, really, when it comes down to it, because if you remember, Derek Carr goes down.
That's right.
And McGloin has an opportunity that he might be able to play in the playoffs with a pretty good chance to, you know, make a run similar to Nick Foles. And then he gets injured and Connor Cook had to start.
I like McGloin. I don't like his contract. I don't like how much we're paying him to be the third quarterback. I wish we could maybe renegotiate that closer to the cut time 53, maybe going into the season with just two quarterbacks and bring him back at the minimum.
They could still draft a guy. Like, they've always had the undrafted, you know, practice squad type guy that's inactive. That was Tyler Bray for a few years and Joel Stave. So they could still definitely bring in something like that.
In Sean Barber fashion, now that Tyler Bray has moved on, I can tell you with 100% certainty that the Chiefs now have three quarterbacks on the roster better than Tyler Bray.
Definitely. I don't know.
Definitely. He was not on my high list.
But he had such a big arm.
Yeah, that was the only thing he had. DeAnthony Thomas.
I'm a Bray Lever.
DeAnthony Thomas is back in the weight room. He revealed on his own Instagram. What is his new 2018 role? I think it's worth talking about because now that Albert Wilson is gone, that does leave a hole. It opens up a discussion on Chris Conley, CBS Sports this week, suggesting maybe Conley doesn't have a clear role. We don't know how he's going to respond to injury. Where do DeAnthony Thomas and Chris Conley fit as far as in the starting wide receiver room right here?
Man, I brought my domino for a reason. All right, when the dominoes fall, unfortunately, that might be the odd man out. I mean, the addition of Sammy Watkins, it puts our man Cheetah back on special teams. That lessens the necessity for Dad to be a return guy. He's not really a slot guy. He's not really a running back. He does a lot. He's a jack of all trades, but a master of none. It's hard to find a position when you only got 53 spots for a guy like that.
So you really believe that Tyreek's going to go back on kickoffs?
100%. Like, I think that is like the secret weapon that ain't no secret.
He should, I think, definitely. As for DeAnthony, man, I just it's hard to think that the, like the 53rd player on the roster is going to be better than him. I'm not like singing DeAnthony's praises, but you know, I think of Dave Tobe calling him, you know, pound for pound, the toughest guy on the team. I don't think he, you know, uses that compliment lightly. I mean, I would pick Dat to make the team at this point.
Can't underestimate Dave Tobe's impact too on the roster and usage, because also, I mean, I think that's why they went out and got a guy like Robert Golden. It just seems like he has a little bit of say in where the roster goes, and he loves DeAnthony. I think he'll be on the team just because of that. I think both of these two guys will be on the team for sure. I just wonder, again, how much we'll see him in the offense. I think that'll be minimal.
What? How many catches did he have last year? It was like a handful. So I don't think he's going to have any sort of real role. He'll have, you know, a play here or there.
The thing that's interesting about him to me is if you're going to build your offense through Tyreek, especially in certain games, he sort of offers a backup to that. You don't right. really have a player that's exactly, or I wouldn't say exactly, but that's similar to Tyreek Hill, where he could step in a spot. And if you know, you saw last year in the Kelce game, we don't have to get back into that because it's bad memories, but you lose one guy you're building the whole game plan around, you could lose the game. So interesting to see how DeAnthony's role shakes out. Next thing we got to talk about, interesting comments from ESPN's Mike yep. Sando, case and counterpoint for the Chiefs 2018 roster, really. On the offense, they said the league executives in the league said they basically have committed to being the best offense in the league, whereas when it comes to defense, they just don't have anyone on defense right now saying that the Chiefs were the least talented defense in the NFL. And you know what? The latter may be true, but to say they don't have anyone when you have Justin Houston and Eric Berry, I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
It feels like both sides. It feels a little hyperbole. Like, I don't think they're going to be the best offense in the NFL, and that's mostly just like a second-year quarterback who hasn't played yet. Like, that doesn't, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. And, yeah, they do have some talent issues on defense, but man, I feel like I've seen plenty of worse defenses. You know, Eric Berry still on the team. They're still going to have Fuller.
And Eric Berry, I mean, you even saw it, and it sounds silly to say because you can't really put it on paper, but Eric Berry really, truly does make everyone better. He was injured last year. They were on this terrible losing streak. He re-enters the building, starts working out, starts talking to the guys, and everyone started playing better, and they even won a game without Marcus Peters.
Oh, definitely. The defense is played in levels, and last year we had Jones up front, then we had Derek Johnson in the second level, then we had Barry, and then we had Marcus Peters. We had a figurehead at every position, every level of the defense that when a play needed to be made, we could turn to that person to make a big play. This year, we've cut off some of those limbs, right? Chris Jones is coming back off injury. Derek's not here no more. Tomba, even from the sidelines, not here anymore. Eric Berry's coming back from injury. We got rid of Peters. So it's kind of a bunch of guys looking for some leadership, looking for a face to be to stand up and be accounted for when it comes for that defense to hit the field.
And I don't want to sound like a coach, but complimentary football, man. If the Chiefs can put some points on the board, you know, that's absolutely going to ease up the defense a little bit, maybe pump up those rankings a few spots from maybe where they really should be.
I mean, you've heard defenders talk in the league, and Sean, you could, you know, talk about this a little more if you want, but it really fires you up when the offense can go on and score some points. Doesn't it? It really, you know, drives you to maybe say, okay, let's get them back on the field as fast as possible.
Definitely. Score fast, score quick, do whatever you got. Just get two first downs. Every possession, if you can get two first downs, your defense will love you.
Well, there you go. Writer from NJ.com suggested the Chiefs could trade with the Eagles for pick number 32 in the draft, but that would cost them a 2, a 3, and a 4. I don't necessarily see the Chiefs doing this on draft night. And
I hate moving up unless you're going to get a quarterback.
I'll get into this a little bit later, too. I mean, we got a lot of tweets in, and I try to sort out the tweets that would make for interesting conversation, but a lot of people are saying, do you think the Chiefs are going to go for an offensive lineman on draft night? Do you think they're going to go for a defensive back? Do you think they'll trade up to pick number 32, 18? The GMs don't even know until the board starts to fall. So it's like, how are we, you know what I mean? Like, no offense to the fans, I mean, but even as we're following this, it's really impossible to know because one pick can change the entire night.
Yeah, you can go by Starbucks, get yourself a crystal ball latte. They got a new latte that you can ask it questions and they're actually supposed to speak to you. So maybe that's what we'll use. We'll use this crystal ball latte to figure out some of these draft things when This is a 32nd pick, man. Nobody knows.
I would rather sit in the second and third round all day long. I think that's really solid value. And if you don't have, like, you know, a glaring need, you know, that you have to address in the first round, then, like, I'll take those quality guys in the second and the third. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Chiefs did a decent job of that.
And Dorsey. For everything that you heard weakness of Dorsey-wise, it was that, you know, he didn't really understand the cap, didn't really know how to keep everything together and organize. You know, Veach, for what it seems like so far, is doing a good job with that. And Dorsey's strength was draft night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Veach, you can't assume that he's going to be the same as Dorsey, but he's at least been learning exactly how he did it, how he evaluated. To me, you keep the picks because, I mean, you look, where did they get Kareem Hunt? It wasn't the first round. It wasn't the second round. And he won the rushing title.
Kelce too.
I think this is one of the this is one of these unique drafts where there's definitely a top 20 guys. There's guys that you can move around in the top 20 depending on what you need. But from pick 21 all the way to about 100, those guys can be put almost anywhere depending on team needs. And the more you can get out of that top 100, I think the better your team's going to be.
Mike, the only thing that I think I would consider moving up for at this point is like a badass pass rusher.
Oh yeah.
Other than that, like, there's just nothing I would want to go up and get at this point.
It's a shame, too, that you have to say that, because you thought with Dee Ford, at least during that maybe six-game stretch where he was sacking the quarterback six times and looked unstoppable, you were like, okay, we're going to be okay with Houston and Ford once Tomba's done, and now you just don't even know what you have in Ford. And even, you know, passing your boy, you still don't know what you have in
him. Oh, the Rover from Villanova. Them Villanova, they're champions, man. He ain't worried about football right now. He went back to.
You think he's partying in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, he went back to Pennsylvania, man. He got to celebrate on the parade for a little bit. Then he'll come to workouts.
Do you think those pass rushers, like, do you think they have to flash, like, right away? Because I feel like Houston seemed like his first year, he seemed like almost like just a guy until, like, the last few games of the season, he really, like, broke out. You know, so thinking specifically about, like, Passanio's, the Rova's development.
Well, I mean, even the personnel men at the Chiefs have said he's been, you know, very raw. And something that reminds me of someone who was very raw, who's very good now, is LDT. And I understand it's different positions, but LDT, his first, I don't know, year or two was not great.
Right.
And then, you know, then they ended up, you know, signing him to a long-term contract because of how good he was. To me, it's just, you got to wait and see with this guy.
Yeah, explosion, you know, that desire, that motor, getting after quarterbacks. Even if you don't show up on the stats as far as sacks and hurries, I think your teammates know, like, if you're a really good pass rusher. If that's somebody you didn't count on basically every third down to really come off that edge and make the quarterback a little bit nervous, whether you get the stats or not, I'm not really worried about the stats. I'm just worried about the effectiveness of the defense. When that third down defense, you know, is not converting, not getting off the field, it doesn't matter who you got out there, Dee Ford, Houston, Holly, whoever's out there, it's not getting done. And so when that number starts going down, that third down conversion rate starts going down, and then we start getting off the field, I don't care who's out there. That's the job to do.
It could be a janitor if they.
Come on, man. Give me a janitor. Just get me off the field. Sweep him right off the field.
On the AP Draft Show, which is every Friday, if you haven't subscribed to that, you should. They've called Passanio body beautiful. So he's halfway there. He's got a beautiful body.
Oh, I'll give it to him. He looks terrific. No question about it.
If only the three of us could look half that good by training camp, I think we'll be doing something correct. We got to have a weekly Pat Mahomes discussion. ESPN's Matt Bowen.
Isn't it Patrick Mahomes? Didn't we solve this?
Patrick Mahomes.
It's not Mr. Mahomes. It's not old man Mahomes here.
We have to have our weekly Patrick Mahomes the second discussion. ESPN's Matt Bohm believes Mahomes is primed for a breakout year. Here's Chris Sims talking about draft pick Josh Allen. He's got elite arm talent, a Brett Favre or Pat Mahomes arm. So Mahomes is already being talked about in the same breath as Brett Favre, which is good territory to be in, having one game under your belt. And then here was Andy Reid on week 17. This also came out. He said, they played their starters. Denver did their starting defense. And I went into that game feeling like we could score at any time. And once we got in there, I felt the same thing. Mahomes gave you that confidence, and he made some plays. You saw him do these no-look throws that he does in practice, and you go, ah, it's practice. He starts doing those in the game. I said, well, okay, that's something special. So Andy Reid even kind of talking up Mahomes, which, again, I've said a number of times, is unlike Reid to do so. If this was San Fran and Mahomes was in Garoppolo's shoes, this would be the national hype train, and you're already seeing it in San Francisco. The fact that he's in Kansas City is why that Nationally, they're not talking about him that much. But if he backs this up by week four, people will be talking about the Kansas City Chiefs.
I am absolutely giddy. Just like the no-look pass will be his thing, you know what I mean? Like every franchise quarterback has like a thing that they're great at. Brady's clutch, Manning was, you know, such a great preparer. Like, man, I'm just absolutely giddy about this. You know, I want to see him hit the field. I think picking him to have like a breakout, like a huge year is really easy.
MVP or bust. Yeah, MVP or bust right now.
No, he's not going to be a bust. Come on, Pete. God. Sean, kick him out. You know,
I've already told you, man. Patty Cake is my guy, dog. Like, I roll with Patty Cake. Make him shake all day.
It's easy. Like, I think calling Mahomes like a potential breakout star is super easy because they've added so many, you know, weapons on the offense, and you have Andy Reid. Like, I mean, we've been saying it since he was drafted. This is the perfect situation, and now it's like finally coming up. And other people, you know, around the league, like Matt Bowen's, you know, former player scout, you know, he's not one who's tends to go into hyperbole. So,
I just think
it's all
the only thing that scares me about it. And I believe in Mahomes. I watched him at training camp firsthand. The only thing that scares me about the whole thing is that it's becoming like an expectation, and that's a lot of pressure.
There are no red flags. I was thinking about this. There are no red flags right now.
Now, you already saw a game and he did pretty well. I mean, if you have to pick one red flag, it was that ugly interception, but it's everyone has interceptions.
Yeah. No, I don't even think that's a red flag. Like, I think maybe, you know, the air raid offense guys don't succeed or something like that, other than that one who just won a Super Bowl. I mean, but like, other than that, like, everyone's saying the right thing about how he prepares. We actually saw it on the field. His teammates, you know, are you know, like Kelsey talks about him, like they talk him up in practice, and the Chiefs have had every opportunity to slow the train down and they haven't.
Yeah,
I think that says a lot.
I'm on the social beat too. I follow, you know, all the players and their wives, and sometimes even the wives' accounts give you more than the players' accounts. And he doesn't have a wife yet, but he has a girlfriend, and she's always taking Instagram videos and stuff. And he's always just at home, either watching the game, playing video games. I don't think this is a guy who's like a social butterfly. I think he's really focused on his career, and that's something you really want to see in a 22-year-old.
He ties his jacket around his waist.
Which is the coolest thing. Yeah. Still the coolest thing going. And you can't see my waist right now, Facebook Live, but I have my jacket tied around it. So.
Well, I know one thing. When it's time for him to show out and be great, what you want to do with a quarterback who's young, you want to have the ability to push him as far as you can. Let him push the pedal to the metal. Let him go as fast as he can. Have an expectation that's so high he can never reach it. And then once he creates that momentum and start, everything's going right, then when he falls one time, you can say, all right, now take that level of play and just dial it back one notch and stay right there. Go all, don't just say go to 10. I want you to go to 20. I want to see Patty Cake on level 20, making all kind of plays, I mean, out of this world. And then when he throws that one interception, say, hey, you see that one right there? Let's dial it back to a 19.
I would almost love to have a Favre situation where they can't contain him. He is an absolute fireball.
Yelling at the coaching staff. Yeah. Andy Reid yelling that should be great. Well, it's going to be exciting. And it's five, 6 months away, but – man, you're already jonesing.
Off season program is starting in a few weeks. That means reporters are going to be out there, and they'll at least see him in shorts throwing. And believe me, I'm going to hype the shit out of that.
Can I say? we'll edit that out, yeah, for sure. But that's the first S-bomb, I think, on the Arrowhead Pride podcast. And Mahomes was the one to do it. No surprise there. Other news this week, though, in division, the Raiders cut punter Marquette King. Apparently, John Gruden didn't like his personality issues. I just thought this was worth discussing because are the Raiders going to be an embarrassment? I can't get it out of my head right now.
I mean, I think some of the moves are defensible. This one's a little weird, but when you come in with like the big $100 million contract for the coach, anything less than a Super Bowl in that time frame is going to be a disappointment. And if you're not like a regular playoff contender, then it has, you know, embarrassment potential. So I don't think they're headed the right way. Like the Chiefs have what, one guy over 30, and that's Colquitt. The Raiders have signed like six guys over 30 this offseason alone. No offense, Sean, but you old guys just don't have it anymore.
King to me, yeah, you know, he was a little bit outgoing and he did care about his personal brand, but he just was a very good player, former All-Pro. From what I could see, at least, you know, being around him when I visited the Pro Bowl, just like a good kid. I just didn't get the move given. I think He's only making like $2.9, $3 million. Yeah. Just didn't make sense for that good of a player.
Average salary for a punter is like $2 million. So who is not? They cannot claim that this is
their friendly
thing.
Rivalry with Kelsey. We don't get that anymore. Yeah. Come on, John.
Well, he'll be in town for Cheetah has a celebrity basketball game at Rockhurst University, and I think
see what you can find out.
King Hong, he's coming. He's one of the
I would love to know what happened.
One of the five stars is going to be there.
So. I love how Cheetah takes one back on him, and they become pals. Then you know,
there you go. Also this week, just quickly, the Chiefs' offseason dates have been announced. OTA offseason workouts, May 22 to 24, May 29 to 31, June 5 to 8, mandatory minicamp, June 12 to the 14th.
And then to add to that, the 16th is when the offseason program starts. We'll hear from Big Red and Mahomes that day. And then on April 20th, Brett Veach is having his.
Brett Veach on 420, which I know you're excited about.
On 420.
Oh, Lord.
I was making some dope jokes earlier.
Surprised.
The expectations are high. Oh, Brett Veach is going to get in the weeds on this.
Oh, surprised they're not holding a joint press conference for that.
Pete, see yourself out of here, please.
I'm the only legal beagle here. I'm the only person here who's
legal beagle.
That is all the news this week. When we come back, we will read your tweets. You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Pete Sweeney here with Sean Barber and Joel Thorman. And it's time, once again, as we do every week, to read some of your tweets, your comments, your questions, and we'll discuss them. How do you feel? Oh, I'm sorry, I should do Joel's favorite part of this. This is from Max M at MaxM35274279. How do you feel about the compensation for Peters now that we see what the Pats got for Cooks? Again, Brandon Cooks going to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for a first-round pick last night.
I've already told you, Peters would not leave the building under any circumstance. If I had control of any personnel on any team, I'd say he's too valuable. He's too elite at what he does. And when it comes to defense, we talked about creating turnovers. He is the number one guy in the league at creating turnovers by himself. Forget he's created more turnovers than some defense has done as a unit over the last three seasons. So there is no he's untradeable to me. Can't get rid of him.
Doesn't feel right to me either. And I feel like they're similar at their positions. Like Peters is a top five, you know, corner, mm-hmm. and Cooks is, you know, a top receiver. And all things equal, I think you go with the corner. In a lot of situations, especially when your quarterback's going to make those receivers a star like Mahomes is. Can't help myself.
I think for me, it makes you feel worse about it for sure, because I just think, you know, like Sean was saying, Peters does some things that no other player does. But at the same time, I mean, all indications show that the Chiefs called 31 teams. So it doesn't seem like there was a first rounder on the table, at least. Mm-hmm. From what everybody is saying, which is hard to believe, but I think there were a couple things that went into it, given the fact that Peters probably needs to be a situation where he was in California with the young coaching staff, understanding of how intense he gets on the field, things like that. And it lessened the suitors, whereas Cooks maybe would have been available to, you know, 20 teams.
Yeah.
And that's how you get a first-round pick, when there's 20 teams competing, not two.
Didn't the Patriots give up a first for him last year? So he's gotten traded for a first-round pick 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
And I mean, the Rams now are just loading up. And again, yeah, the Chiefs did a little bit of that, but I get it. It looks sexy right now, but like, let's see them play a little bit.
Me. No, I'm pretty much the same way. I think the 2011 Eagles burned everyone with the dream team, especially when it's Vince Young calling you the dream team.
I got the Rams going 8-8.
I like it.
I wouldn't be surprised too, and I mean, we'll see what happens. It's hard to tell right now.
It's all based on how well Goff plays.
Yeah,
they can have all these stars, and if Goff is average, they're going 8-8.
It's always the quarterback. I mean, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, and the Chiefs saw this for years, you're not going to be good no matter who's around them. You're right. This next question from Goku Jenkins, similar at DZ Low. Are people still pretending like trading Peters was a good idea? I don't think anyone is pretending like trading Peters was a good idea. This is just what I'm thinking. I just think, what are we going to do about it now? We have to at some point say, this is the team now. We have to cover it. You know, that's more of our job. I'm still not happy about it. That's how I feel. But I'm not just going to sit here and say, all right, that's it. I'm not going to write one article or do one podcast. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, the schedule is being made. You know, our opponents are who they are, no matter with or without Peters. I see everything, you know, as a disclaimer, I see everything through Andy Reid colored glasses. You know, Brett Veach is like my best friend. So I see everything in a pro Chiefs manner. So I think at the end game, they're going to be happy that they got rid of him. I think the end game from a PR standpoint, from some of the off the field stuff, his leadership and his character in the locker room, how he intertwines with teammates, especially with bringing young guys and showing what can and can't be done and what's acceptable on the field. I like a lot of those issues. I think are going to be have been avoided by not having him here, and I think that the Chiefs overall as an organization are going to be pretty happy that they moved on from them.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to try to put it behind them, but for me, and I'm sure for some fans, until that Chiefs Rams game in Mexico City, I don't think it's going to fully be behind me. But I'll be prepared to move on after that game.
I think once fans see this team in training camp and they see how good it looks, they're going to feel fine. I'm telling you, it's going to come back when Kendall Fuller gets burned for the first time, or David Emerson or Steven Nelson looks terrible for a stretch of a game. It's going to come back. It's not something that's just going to go away. I think that's simply, but it will be away for a little bit now as we get ready for the season.
Now, and we got to admit, like, Peter does have some, like, he has some terrible tackling attributes. He definitely cheats against man coverage all the time. So there, I mean, if you know this about Peters, you can game plan against him. You can run a streak route on him and then have a seven route come behind him and know he's going to cheat the seven route and tell the quarterback, look at the seven and just throw the deep. And he'll totally be out of, like,
Tyreek Hill all the time. Tyreek Hill versus Peters 10 times. What's the score?
We'll score 3 touchdowns off of Peters. Like, you can bait him into so many things because he cheats the coverage, because he's been so good and so productive.
But
he
Peters
routes all the time.
Peters will get a couple touchdowns off that matchup too.
No,
that's always the payback.
You never know. He already said. I mean, he was baited a little bit, so keep that in mind. He said on NFL Network he's ready to pick off and knows how to pick off Patrick Mahomes. So.
Hey. That game's going to be hyped. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun game.
He's a gamer. Zach Huston, at Zach Huston. Nice handle. Will Emerson start?
I think
right
so.
Right now, right?
Yeah. I think he should.
Depends on what you think starting is. I think in the base 3-4, it'll be Nelson and Fuller right now. But you're playing nickel and dime more than that nowadays. So if you think about that, then yeah, I guess he has to, correct?
I mean, I still think it's Emerson or Nelson. I still think that's up for grabs.
Emerson for America,
yeah.
New t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like Nelson. I saw him. He was out in the community helping out. He went to visit some kids in the hospital and stuff.
What's the latest on him? What's the juice?
Any guy who's out in the community helping out people that, you know, needed some spirits lifted, man. Those are my type of guys. Those are the kind of guys I root for. So I saw him out there yesterday. So, Nelson's my guy right now.
Cool. We'll see how he looks in training camp. Again, I think he's a candidate to maybe look even a little bit better this year. And he's going to have to because he's a starting cornerback now. Nick Haygood, I'm not reading that one. The Chiefs haven't had 4 running backs on their roster since 2012. Who will be the odd man out this year? It's an interesting question.
So it'll be Shark or...
I think you're looking at Kareem, Spencer, Akeem, Sharkhandrick, and then Damian Williams are your candidates. I mean, George Atkinson's a deep dark horse. I think he's going to be your practice squad guy.
Yeah, I mean, the only for sure thing I say there is Kareem. If you told me someone like Damian Williams comes out and beats Spencer Ware, I'd buy it. I mean, that's Kareem's the only for sure thing, although I think they will keep one of Ware or Shark.
As I'm thinking about it, it's a little bit of an underrated storyline because you would think that that fifth man out will get a job somewhere, you know, when the cuts. Someone will claim that fifth running back. So that's really a luxury right now.
Especially if, like, you know, Sharkhandrick, like, you can pass block, like, you know, some coach out there, you know, fans don't appreciate that, but some coach out there is going to put him on the roster for that.
I don't see them getting rid of Sharkhandrick for that reason, though. I don't.
I think Wes is here. I think where Mike started out at, like, a PUP, he may not be even eligible until
Williams was hurt, too. So that's another, like, they both have, they're coming off injuries.
Akeem was on injured reserve at the end of the year last year as well.
Like, yeah, I can't remember, but that was at the very end. That could have been like
they had to bring up CJ Spiller for the 100th and 5th, 7th.
That's right.
He had a hamstring or something. I mean.
Yeah. So the answer is we don't know, but hopefully that gives you some insight on who we think.
It'll be one of these 7 guys. I guarantee it.
Hey, you got to be honest. You got to be honest.
I'll tell you this. Last year's Rookie of the Year is going to make the roster. You can't get insight like this anywhere else.
Sure. Next question from Luis G. Suarez, LG Suarez. Do you think we might see Veach go for another safety in the draft with the addition of Golden, or is this the priority still guard, corner, and linebacker? By the way, Chiefs and podcast fan from Puerto Rico.
Oh.
Nice.
Puerto Rico.
No, I'm not saying it. No, I'm not saying it. You can say it. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, I think safety's on the table. I think
let's change the question. What do you think is the first position they take? I think that's the fair answer for this.
If they stay at the pick they're at.
Yeah, let's just say they stay at 54.
I want to lean, like, the one that I feel might be the most dire, but the one that they need the most that they can get there. I kind of want to go for like interior offensive line because those offensive lines suck coming out these days. So they need like a whole year to develop. But the other argument is they suck. So you just go to free agency and get that.
That's
pass rusher.
It's a good point because Zach Fulton was really a big luxury for the Chiefs because he played so many damn positions on the offensive line. So now they don't have that luxury anymore. I think Fulton is going to be starting for a guard in Houston.
16 game starter. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of 6th round picks who come in and start 16 games as a rookie.
So right now your left guard position is either it's going to be Brian Witzman or Parker Anger probably. And like that isn't a particular strength at a certain, at an important, you know, position on your offensive line. So I think maybe it might not be sexy and it may be an interior offensive lineman.
And the Mitch Morse, you know, he's heading into the last year of his deal and you already have both your tackles on long-term deals and your right guard. You're probably not going to pay your center too.
Yeah. The Chiefs dealt with some injuries on the offensive line, you know, throughout the season. I think that if they stay where they are, there's so many skilled players and quarterbacks going to get overdrafted. People going to reach for him early in the draft. That's what's going to push really high quality offensive linemen, defensive linemen down the list. I think we can get a first round ability at offensive and defensive line in the pick, would you say pick 54?
Yeah.
So I think if you stay at 54, you go offensive, defensive line. I would say offensive line. And if you actually see an edge rusher, a cornerback kind of hanging around at about 30, early 40s, who you had as a top 20 guy, then you have to, you know, make a move and go get that guy.
That's what I was just going to say. We've never seen Veach in a draft before, but we can tell now that he's aggressive enough where, like you're saying, if there's a player that Veach is in love with and, you know, they're in the 40s, you know, maybe it's not a trade into the first round situation, but maybe it's a trade up 12 spots so Veach can get that player that he loves. So I think you may see a lot of action on day two. I'm starting to tend to think that you maybe won't see any action night one.
Yeah, I think with that second round pick, offensive tackle could be a dark horse pick. Remember, they still do have cap problems, and if you want to swap out a big cap hit, your left tackle, you know, in 2 years for someone much cheaper, like, I think that's a real possibility.
Really, the entire NFL has a cap problem. Different type of cap. Brandon Alleslager, at Alleslager. I feel like the second round pick could really tell us what the mindset is for the draft and this year. They move up, they're going in on this year. They move back, they're getting guys for the next couple of years, or they'll find a value guy they like. What do you think about that thought process?
I think that's very possible. Here's a theory. All right, we love my theories here. Big Red just signed an extension. He's 57, 58 years old.
No, I think he's 60. Wasn't he 60?
60?
60 this year, I believe.
Happy birthday, Big Red.
Yeah, he just turned, he just had a birthday a couple weeks ago. They go out, they get Sammy Watkins, they finally got the franchise quarterback. They've got the perfect situation with the quarterback on the, you know, cheap contract, and that's like the best situation. What if they're just going all in and saying over these next 2 years, like, we're going to get Big Red a title before he retires, and that this is the last extension he's going to sign? Like, I think that's totally possible.
Right into the sunset, Bob Sutton, next head coach of the Chiefs.
Pete, see yourself out.
Man, y'all are crazy.
It'll be like Mike Kafka or somebody.
I think they are. I think there is a lot to that, though. I think they're not paying this quarterback who they know they're going to have to if he's everything they're saying. So why not go for it, right? I mean, it just seems that way.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole go for it thing, I mean, it has to be the right pieces, right? Like going for it, collecting, you know, names like the Rams are doing. I mean, that's one way to go for it, but I mean, their window is so small, right? If they don't do it this year, next year, then all those guys basically blow up in their face, and they have no draft picks because they traded them all the way to get these guys. So they're going to be just a bottom feeder for five seasons after that. So they win it, like, you know, the Rams, they win it in the next 2 years or they become irrelevant for the next 5-6 years. For some reason, just like Andy, he's never, none of his teams have seemed to be that way, where it's like, if we don't win it this year, we become irrelevant for the next 5-6. They're always 10-11 win seasons. Like, no matter, even when he was inherited a 2-14 team, he comes in and win 10 games the next season with the same roster. So I think they continue to churn it. They continue to just improve in positions, add depth through the draft. They just do things the Kingdom way, the Arrowhead way, is, you know, just keep pushing guys to be, you know, show their personality on the field. He'll buy them a cheeseburger the night before the game and call it a day.
Fast food Friday.
That's one thing that I do like about the Chiefs that I noticed in coming here when I first started in Kansas City in 2014 is, and this was, I think, a Dorsey thing, and I would probably say a Reed thing, is they're not only building for the future, they're also building for right now, and they kind of do it simultaneously. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen a lot of Chiefs fans where, I think probably you probably see this more than me, but around 2013, 2014, they were like, this is great. We're relevant now. And now relevancy is kind of getting boring.
Right.
It says, okay, now we're ready for this next up. But the reason that has gotten boring is because they do their homework and, you know, they load this team up for years and years. I think that's a good thing. And as long as you're in the dance, you never know.
Give me one exciting signing every March. That's all I ask for as a blogger.
I always go back to game one of last year. We had the best team in the NFL, and that starting roster they had in game one, we beat the Patriots. A week later, we beat the Eagles.
They were on opening night. They were 1-0. No one else had a win. You're right.
It
first
is
first place.
No, I'm just saying the team. And when I saw that film,
when you had Barry,
I looked at that game over again. Man, that team was scary. With Conley, with Barry, everybody playing their natural position. It wasn't a bunch of. What about Bob Sutton? What about the cornerback position? Everybody was just out there playing ball. It was so encouraging to see that team play. And I mean, we dismantled the Patriots. And when it came to the next week at home, opening up against Philadelphia, we did the same thing to them. They played the exact same way. They were the exact same team, except for Carson Wentzless. They won the Super Bowl. And so to know that we had a top three, you know, maybe the top team in the NFL.
I mean, it's going to sound ridiculous, but there's an argument to be made that the Carson Wentz Eagles are better than the Nick Foles Eagles. I think that's an impressive victory. It just stinks that the Chiefs were playing their best ball at the exact worst time to play, which is the beginning of the season. You kind of want a good, maybe even sometimes a 3-2 start, see where your weaknesses are, and then get better as the year went on. The Chiefs kind of peaked
early
on night one and week two, and then, you know, there was a little bit of a roller coaster, so.
We grow from that, though. Organizationally, I think the Chiefs grew from that. They learned something from last season. So just let's not be shook in how the season started if we don't start it the same way.
Stay woke.
Stay woke. Stay woke.
KC fan in PA, a little bit of a hater here.
Uh-oh.
Do you think Veach pulls off another trade for a former high draft pick currently underperforming or in a bad system fit? Because I do.
Who is that person? They probably went to school with him at Delaware.
That's not a bad question. That's like a Reggie Ragland question or like a Cam Irving question. The former first round pick who 2 years in like isn't performing, so Veach goes up and gives up a fifth rounder for him and takes his chances. Like, I don't think that's been Veach's thing in a number of spots. Who else am I missing? Ragland, Irving, and why am I blanking on this?
Well, Watkins, right?
Yeah, Watkins. Yeah, Watkins fits into that too.
That wasn't a trade; that was a signing. But yeah, he was a first rounder.
This tweet is like an old frat mate that they was roommates, and he stole his girlfriend or something. He's been wishing he was Veach for the last 7 years, and now he has a chance to get at him on Twitter. Man, get this Veach hater out of here! Get off our twit.
It almost sounds like a bad word, but
we
it
were about to let that slide. Yeah. No, I wasn't.
I think. For what it's worth, the former high picks that haven't looked that good so far have panned out for the most part. So, you know,
One out of two, basically, and we'll, we don't know what Irving is, and Watkins, let's just go ahead and count him.
We know
two
Irving, out of three. We know Irving's hands.
He's going to count.
Great. That's the only thing. We can't catch passes. That's the only thing we know so far. Kyle at Ein Kalabite. What do you think the Shermanator will wear to training camp?
Overalls cut off at the knees. and showing those terrific thighs that he has and no undershirt and some sort of something related to the flag draping off of him. He might wear it like a cape.
The only thing I'm thinking about is like Oktoberfest. I'm thinking of like an Oktoberfest and doing a Yitzin Ritzin, some kind of one of those things.
I mean, Fat Arm Fridays is a thing that's been with the Chiefs, and people got to see it with the LA HBO special, Hard Knocks, because Eric Kush brought it to LA. So that, you know, they really like wearing these cutoffs, things like that. I don't know. It seems like every year it gets more ridiculous. So I can't even predict. It'd be great if he came in like an American flag, just Speedo, and just went, you know, kind of all out there.
It's been like 2 years in a row that he's dressed up wearing something funny, so the stakes will be high, and we'll make sure we remind him at the end of July that there's a lot of people waiting on this.
Third time's a charm. Ronasia, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, at Melanated TV. If the Rams win the Super Bowl, can we get something in return?
Did she just tweet that after I said he went 8-8? Is this like a counterpunch to my 8-8 prediction? No, you don't get that. I think they're going to be like odds-on favorite between them, the Eagles, and the Patriots. They're going to be heavily favored. I'm saying that
there's only one favorite to win the Super Bowl, and it's been the same team for the last decade, and it will be this year. You know who that is?
The Patriots.
Yes.
Oh man,
it would be tough to swallow to trade the Rams the missing piece for the Super Bowl run. I mean, that would be if they run it, that would be a little tough to swallow.
Everyone has to kind of share it a little bit because the Broncos, you know, gave him to lead. Yeah. The Chiefs gave him Peters. Now the Patriots have given them Cooks. So,
or maybe you look at it in the positive way and say this is the blueprint when you have a cheap quarterback, is you go all in everywhere else and try to win it. Maybe the Chiefs do that next year.
I mean, you talk about different Super Bowl storylines. Like, say the Chiefs were to make it, you know, to play either the Rams or the Redskins or something.
Eagles.
Or even the Eagles as defending champions with Reed and Peterson. Those are three perfect storyline Super Bowls for Kansas City right there. I mean, I would love to see them play the Rams.
Yeah. Whoever this person is who tweeted it, I'll bet you a pizza party. I'll pick an elementary school, and whoever loses, if they win the Super Bowl, I'll do a pizza party. If they lose it, then you do the pizza
party. I'm marking that down right now. In the notes, pizza party.
Gordon Elementary, Gordon Parks Elementary School. We'll do the fourth grade pizza party. If the Rams win, I buy pizza for the entire fourth grade. If the Rams lose, then this person, tweeter,
Ronasia,
will buy it just for Ms. Watry's fourth grade class.
Fair enough.
I think that sounds good. We'll bring that up at the end of the season.
You gonna buy us pizza?
No. I mean, I could. We got some good pizza joints.
Pepperoni and jalapenos.
Okay, no. I'm going now. Stuffed crust, Little Caesars.
Oh, stuffed crust.
Little Caesars.
The cheesy.
Talking New Yorker. The Little cheesiest. Caesars. Don't do that to me.
I'm pretty much exclusive Minsky's at this point with sometimes some Waldo pizza.
Guys, Johnny Joe's.
I've heard that
in the Plaza.
I don't even know if Little Caesars.
Jalapeno.
Real cheese.
Pepperoni.
It's good.
Dip it in a little bit of ranch. Call it a day. We're going to call it a day here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. That was all of your tweets. Remember, draft is coming up. Listen to Kent Swanson and the AP Draft Show. That'll be coming out on Friday. On Mondays, we have the Chief in the North podcast.
How do I search for this?
You can go on iTunes. Google Play, or, of course, Blog Talk Radio. That's where you can find us, as well as Facebook Live, iTunes, and Google Play. For Sean Barber.
At SeanBarber59. Follow me.
And the Blog Father, Joel Thorman, at Arrowhead Pride. I'm Pete Sweeney. Thank you for listening to the Arrowhead Pride podcast. Have yourself a great week.